Thank you. Well, here we go. Just got one more week of lectures after this one. And this is the 12th lecture, 3rd Joburg ACC, Friday, 10th February, AD 11. Now, at the present moment, as in all ACCs, technology gets bent around trying to find out what you can do. It's quite amusing, and matter of fact, quite intriguing, to look over this fact of what people will do. This is a very, very important fact. What will people do? Now, I can lay out some sort of a perfect routine. You know, it's apparently flawless, like a line in the central organization, whereby people are supposed to go from one point to another point of the central organization. And certain things are supposed to happen. But this postulate gets modulated. If it's not something people will do easily, it won't be followed. If it's not something that works quite right, why, it can't be duplicated. So, long since I have understood this and begun to shape up things like lines. I put in a line that I think will work in a central organization, and then I find out what part of it people will do, and then build a line around that fact. And then I get a line that will be followed, and nobody has to stand in on the head of it, you see, and keep pounding it and pounding it and pounding it, because people will do it. I'll give you an idea that seems to be a far cry from auditing. The accounts departments of central organizations have been a horror for years. The accounts directors, by dint of working themselves cross-eyed and silly, with the total assistance of the association secretary and so forth, have managed to keep these things fairly straight on an heroic sort of line. We were using 19th century accounting methods. And, of course, the 19th century, if accountancy was very mysterious, then nobody could possibly invade the accounting department or check it up, could they? 19th century. And they had ledgers in which things were copied from here to there, and they were done this way, and they were done that way, and it all got rattled over in this line, and then it got audited over in this line, and no executive in the organization could find out where he stood. That is, of any big business. Accountancy were sacred. But here we were trying to do an enormous amount of accounting with very little assistance. And I had to study this from this basis. And I'm just giving you this just to show you an evolution of action. Very carefully looked over accounts departments and the history of accounting in Dianetics and Scientology organizations over a long period of time. And I found out there was one thing they could do. They could keep records. Not copy records. They could hold on to records. I don't think in all the time we've been extant all the way around the world that we've lost more than a half a dozen pieces of paper. It's just utterly fantastic. But that, obviously, they could do. And I built a whole accounting system on that one fact. And we're hearing less and less out of the accounts departments, and they're getting happier and happier. Of course, it's a little arduous getting this system in. because the old 19th century system stands squarely in its road. You see, no law demands that you keep accounts, books. They do demand, however, that you keep records. You get the vast difference between these two things. So if your records are so lined up, if your records are so lined up that they amount to accounting books just by being filed, obviously you have answered all possible conditions. Now, the whole account system is built on filing. There are about four files, and everything goes into those files. And then if you want to know anything, you summate those files. And that's the totality of record keeping. And then as far as breakdowns are concerned, that is routinized on a basis of you file the pieces of paper on nails and add them up and add them onto in a sheet, and it gives you your breakdown. This is a very simple system. And to have dreamed up this system originally without any data whatsoever might have been adventurous. Now, it had to be based on what people will do. Now, let's take the P.E. line. Apparently, there's been a lot of trouble trying to get a P.E. line in Joburg and other places. Factually, the trouble's been this. I knew what I wanted there. I knew the public, all of a sudden, found out that the public would be tested. That was the stable datum there. That's what the public would do. They'd be tested. And I knew what had to happen. The people from testing had to be educated a bit and rooted into the organization. See, that was the trick. But now we had to ask, what will the people in PE do? See, completely aside from dreaming up a totally perfect line of they do this and they do that and now you do this and now you do that, you see. It's monitored by this question, what will they do? And although it might be far better to jump the people over into an anatomy of the human mind course or something like this, you could figure out lots of routings. A PE foundation will test and will put people in a PE course. And PE courses, if watched carefully, will put people into co-audit. And co-audit has invariably produced candidates for auditors and preclers. Now, you're rendering a tremendous public service if you're just testing people and getting them into co-audit. This is quite a public service because co-audit is now working. Well, now that may not be best financially. It may not be optimum from a standpoint of how many people you need on the PE line. Maybe it takes lots of people to do this. But that's what the public will do, and that's what the PE Foundation will do. The old Dublin PE then is still extant and was evidently very close to a perfect line. And it now has testing in front of it. You just put testing in there first and run the old 1956 Dublin PE. People will go into co-audit. In central organizations, they routinely have far less people in their co-audit than franchise holders do. This was very mysterious. But we found out what was cutting it back in central organizations. People were on co-audit for a relatively short time and went in for training and processing. They were just losing their people all the time off co-audit into the central organization. Now, it's what people will do, regardless of what's perfect. Now, that appears to be sort of apathetic, and as an old Roman, you probably wouldn't agree that this is the best thing, you know. The thing to do is to make the postulate and make it stick. And they don't do it, well, off with their heads. You know? Of course, this paid off. In Paris today, they're still serving food and running the government just exactly like they did the day Paris was built in Roman times. I'm in a position to know. Anyhow, what will an auditor do? Well, he allowed it. That's the most broad statement you can make of the situation. He will try to help, and he will audit people. Now, he will try to get a result. Now, this is tried and true and factual over long periods of time. All right, therefore, if he'll do these things, then it's my job to speed up his result and get him to get a higher percentage of results and get them with less strain. Now, the first thing that assists him is the E-meter. And I found out that the fellow who audits with a poor understanding of the E-meter has an awful time of it. And audits without an E-meter, he really goofs. He can be fooled. So therefore, the introduction of the E-meter into this fact that an auditor will audit smooths it out considerably. Now, we've had the rudiments for a very long time, since 1954, and these rudiments have gotten smoother and smoother. They have become more and more pertinent. What do you ask this person to set him up to get him in session? All right, that's an assistance to an auditor, being able to get a PC in session. Now, reaching the case with a process. Well, that's a technical fact there. We have to know a great deal about the mind and so forth in order to do that. But you'll find that auditing has gone in its progress on this cycle. Simplicity, complexity, simplicity, complexity. You're right now at a complex point on the cycle. Now, an auditor will give a repetitive command. It will very often be very unintelligent in two-way comm. This has been taught me the hard way. You turn auditors loose and you say, well, you just find out about this and you find out about that, and then you're all set then, and you go on and audit something that applies to this. And the second you get this loose in what you tell the auditor to do, he goes astray and he gets unhappy. He wants to know, what question do you ask? And he wants to know the wording of the process that you run. Well, this is this is quite a demand. It's quite a demand. One of the things an auditor won't do very well is just take an understanding of something. This is broadly all auditors in the world, you know. Take an understanding of something and then manufacture something out of it in order to apply it directly and immediately to the preclear. He doesn't do this well. We always have some trouble, one way or the other, when we try to get something like that happening. Now, that's no condemnation of auditors. This is just a question of what auditors will do. They will follow directions, and they will ask questions which are direct, pertinent questions to the case. And they will run processes which are directly and immediately outlined to handle that situation. Well, this puts quite a strain on it, as I just said. It's rough. Because in order to accomplish that, you have to have the common denominator of all cases. At all stages. And cases at different stages have different common denominators. You're right now at a complex period of the cycle. Now, a new scale has just been introduced. This has been introduced after a series of wins. We had the regimens, and there are these regimens run with havingness, confront, and help on terminals. Did very well and really splendid. Missed about 2 cases out of 10 around the world, except in South Africa, where it pretty well missed 10 out of 10. I have to be factual about it. I just missed about 10 out of 10. All right, I undercut. Every time you start undercutting cases that are running well, of course, you make the cases that are running well run better. which is quite remarkable. You get an undercut, and you get a further understanding. In other words, any time you undercut a hard case, why, you make it easier on the easy case. So, the first consideration here was these cases that weren't responding well on the regimens, all right? Undercut. So it was failed help and versions of failed help, and you got the first formulas. And they were quite good, and they're still with you. Formula 15, Formula 13, these are marvelous. Because they were handling South African cases and handling them ably and well. Now, that's a win. But at the same time, they still required a considerable amount of supervision and judgment. So, obviously, if it was this touchy, if you had to be this particular about it all, well, obviously, that system could be undercut. Failed help, intended not to help, thinking an overt thought, this type of thing. That package, however, is still there, and remember, it was winning. We're just trying to make it now easier for an auditor to do it, and make it faster, and reach out and grab even more cases. And this development of the pre-havingness scale is, of course, new. And not all is known about this scale. It might be known right at the present time. But what we do know about this scale is pretty darn positive. It's pretty sharp. It undercuts cases we didn't need any undercut for. And it doesn't only undercut them once, it undercuts them about 15 or 20 times below. This is filling a band between the CCHs, then, and the regimens. The band between the CCHs and the regimens needed filling. Now, what can an auditor do? Well, he's not left totally adrift, you know. You know, you still have the CCHs. And the CCHs are long and arduous, but run properly, they produce a very positive result. For instance, we have in Joburg, very recently, just before the Congress, a very happy pair of parents. They had a little boy who was dedicated to being a 1-1. He was doing everything he possibly could do to make life hell for his parents. Everything. They were in misery about this kid. Now, I haven't actually seen the records of this case, but at the Congress, the father descended upon me, you know, and shook me by the hand. I'd already shaken a couple of hundred people's hands, and he finished the dislocation of the wrist. I don't ever mind people thanking me, but sometimes hard on your wrist. And he was really happy. I had saved his life and his family. That was as far as he was concerned, you see. And a staff auditor had done a terrific job. Apparently, from what I gather, did it only with the CCHs. Just took this kid and ran him through the CCH. And it just came out the other end just beautifully. Well, now, you didn't have to know much except this. Control, communication, and havingness is some kind of a combination worked out directly upon the preclear would advance his case. I can tell you more about the CCHs today than I could have told you when they were originated. Naturally, I've learned a great deal more about them. I find out that a person's bank, if it's giving him any trouble, is obviously out of control. He's obviously unwilling to communicate with it, and he obviously can't have it. I mean, that's awfully elementary, isn't it? If the fellow's having any trouble, in other words, with his bank, why, it's obviously out of control. He's out of communication with it, and he can't have it. So therefore, there's a method of tackling control directly and overtly, like CCH1, CCH2, CCH3, CCH4. And CCH3 and CCH4, the mimicry type processes, of course, are direct havingness processes. I knew that there were 40 or 50 factors that made up havingness. But these 40 or 50 factors all boil down to one. Havingness is duplication. That's it. If a thing can duplicate it, he can have it. All he's got to do is think he can duplicate it and he can have it. Havingness, duplication. So anytime you go into duplication, of course you get havingness. And now you get the woof and warp of auditing itself. Repetitive command. What is this but duplication, 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 duplication. And it presents the facade of havingness. So auditing is havingness. But just the mechanics of auditing are havingness. I think you could run Do Fish Swim, you know, for a long time on a case and get considerable gain. PE personnel had time and time again told me, well, where they really make their gains is in the concourse, the old concourse of the PE. Raw public in there doing TR0 on up, and they get tremendous case shifts. Well, what do they get them on? They get them on duplication. That's all. It's havingness. There isn't enough communication with it to bother with if you look at the people that are in such concourses. They're pretty well out of communication at that stage. So it must be just a havingness factor. Also, the element of hope enters in. They hope something can be done, and that itself is a boost. Up to this time, you realize on this planet, the whole yik-yak, and I shouldn't be dignified with any better term than yik-yak, of mentalists has been that nothing can change the mind, nothing can change IQ, nothing can change the personality, and the only thing you can do with a psychotic is make him less dangerous to his environment. That's more or less the propaganda line that goes out. So somebody's busy telling him there is something you can do about the mind. Well, this factor alone does something. Always the first case gain a person makes in Dianetics and Scientology is a sudden resurgence of hope that something can be done. I refer you to my lecture yesterday concerning what sickness was. Person finds present time intolerable and no future connected with it. Well, he wants out. Well, you give him some hope on the thing, and he says, fine. He'll try to go along with that. Now, he may be so faint-hearted that his hope doesn't carry him very far, but that's nevertheless the first case gain. Just the data of Dianetics and Scientology have produced, along with this factor of hope, some rather marvelous and fantastic results, which I've never bothered to report. I get them all the time. I guess it's because it's too self-congratulatory or something of the sort. But do you know that people have read Dianetics' Evolution of a Science lying in hospital beds as hopeless cripples, haven't gotten up and kissed the hospital goodbye. Haven't been sick since. It's fantastic. Just give them an orientation. Just show them what's some truth in life, and they recognize this truth is truth, and away they go. Well, you see, you're working on fundamentals here, which are rather well-founded, and which progress very smoothly forward. You have the repetitiveness of auditing, which is havingness. You have hope coming along with it. You have numerous truths, which are boosting the case along. Now, I'm afraid we have to get up to the next point. The next point. The case is hoping for a gain. And unless he gets a gain that is real to the case, he hangs fire. That's the next fundamental amongst fundamentals. Unless he gets a gain that he can recognize as a gain, he will hang fire. Now, at first, this looked very easy. 1950, obviously, if you cured somebody who was a hopeless cripple with arthritis, marvelous. Person's hopeless cripple, and now they're cured, and obviously they'd know, wouldn't they? Well, I'll let you in on something. They don't know. You might have cured them of arthritis, but they didn't find out about it. That wasn't what they considered a case gain. That was what you considered a case gain. And we get this. Auditing. Oh, there's lots of little saws about auditing, like auditing is what you can get away with. But auditing is... auditing to the degree that is real to the PC. That's quite interesting, isn't it? Therefore, you take raw meat straight off the street. The fellow says, well, I want to improve my memory and I find myself forgetting things and so forth. Well, you look at him and you find out that he's got a crippled foot and he has terrible marital troubles and he has this and that. And so you decide to straighten out his foot and his marital troubles. No. You straighten them all out. He gets them all better. But you didn't do anything for him. What would have been real to him, he already told you. Better his memory. So we get this case of this chap over here in the HGC. Ran him for 25 hours on something he wouldn't mind forgetting. I don't know if it even increased his profile. He could remember things he couldn't remember before, and that was it. He was a real happy fella. In other words, auditing is auditing when it is real to the PC. That's one of these horrible fundamentals. I dare say that somebody who was totally schooled in Chinese medicine of acupuncture would know he was going to get well if you pierced him with the gold and silver needles in the proper places. And he could be quite certain that he wouldn't get well unless you did this. Auditing to him would be something about gold and silver needles if that was his total concept or obsession about help. But that doesn't say that you should go in for gold and silver needles particularly. That's his methodology. That methodology is real to him. And this is always a barrier to the auditor. PCs all over the place have methodologies which they know are the right stuff, even though they've practically killed them in the past. Methodology. Chiropractic. Chiropractic is very valid and scientologically. It works because a person's attention is never on his back. You put some attention on the PC's back, oh, any PC, and something is liable to happen. Something strange and peculiar is liable to occur. You run a touch assist on their spine, and you find out they get all sorts of cognitions and things. That's just because they never looked at a back. The way a body is built, they're always looking forward, and they're never looking at their spines. They have no havingness of a back. You increase the havingness of the back, and something happens. Chiropractic. Trouble with a chiropractor, he doesn't give long enough treatments. And he tries to do something with the treatments, you know. He just doesn't fool around with the fellow's spine. He just ought to fool around with somebody's back, that's all. Fool around with it for half an hour or so, and he'd get much better results. It's a matter of attention fixations. Now, there are things wrong with backs. But let me tell you, you have to run out some mighty vicious engrams before you can straighten out a spinal cord. Because the engram that holds it out is not going to be discharged by pushing it back in. When you realize that the thetan is trying to run a body through a spinal cord and a few things like this, why, you recognize that things can go wrong with the back. But if you don't get the engram out why, that back isn't going to straighten out permanently. Now, what this boils down to is that methodology is actually not important, since the methodology itself is based upon an earlier goal. The methodology was adopted in order to accomplish something, and that it gave hope and still gives promise of accomplishing it, it continues to be accepted. But the methodology can be undercut by the goal. So this girl is totally sold on her psychoanalyst. You find these occasionally. Husband demands his wife, gets audited. You find out she's been psychoanalyzed. She's totally sold on the analyst, and she says, if I'm just careful, and if I never go anyplace, and if I never do anything, and I never, so on, I'll be all right. It's a direct quote, by the way. Nothing fanciful. Rather heartbreaking, isn't it? But now, you're supposed to audit her, but she knows that what saved her bacon was psychoanalysis. Only her bacon isn't saved. That's obvious to everybody around, that if you're just careful and never do anything, that you'll be all right. Well, that's true. Dead bodies never get in any trouble. So there you'd find yourself in a position of having to bypass a methodology. And you can always do it with goals. You want to find out what she wanted to accomplish. Now you find out that she's been running on everybody else's goals. Husband's goals, psychoanalyst's goals, everybody else's goals, and so forth. Well, don't compound the felony and dream up some new goals for the PC. The PC's had too many. PC can deal with less, not more. But you can actually find dozens and dozens and dozens of goals in this PC. Lots of them, by the ton. And this is your key question on all goals that bypasses methodology. What would have to happen in order for you to know you have had a case change? Now, that is a key question. Now, every one of these people who is getting audited, getting good tone arm motion, who is yet saying, I haven't got a case change, is saying, I have something by which I measure a case change, which I haven't bothered to inform you of. This is what might come under the heading of the most secret of secret goals. Goals, you know, can be withheld. People consider them unworthy or something of the sort. At different times of life, a person's goals are quite different. Now, at one time I had the goal of sinking every German submarine in the Atlantic. Another time I had the goal of sinking all the Japanese submarines in the Pacific in such a way as to not to let my own high command find out about it. It had gotten fatal. I'd been scolded too many times for daring to shoot up those poor defenseless submarines that all they were doing was sinking all our shipping. That's sort of funny, by the way. You get into situations in societies where people get afraid. They themselves wouldn't dare attack something. And they're afraid if you attack it, you'll antagonize it. So they don't want you to attack it. And people will pull that gag on you about the mind. They themselves, without any knowledge of the mind, just at the idea of tackling a human mind, you see. A lot of these people, you know, with their own withholds and all his secrecies and all this sort of thing, they say, ooh, that'd be pretty bad. And they've actually built what they call a technical fact, is that you shouldn't ever fool with the human mind. And I'm sure that there are people right here this has been pulled on. relatives or somebody has said to you, well, I don't know, that'd be pretty dangerous, pretty adventurous to fool around with the human mind. Well, they're just saying, well, under no circumstances would I ever have nerve enough to tackle one. And if I let you tackle one, then you're liable to antagonize it, and it's liable to jump all of us. They're just trying to keep you from getting them in trouble. I think that's basically possibly the way admirals operate. They don't want you to attack the enemy because you might upset the enemy and make them angry. But your PC has a yardstick. And after the repetitiveness of auditing and the fundamentals of the rudiments as to whether or not he can get in session and so on, there's this yardstick. Of course, he's got hope something can happen, you see. He's got some data that he agrees with. But there's this yardstick. Now, what's this yardstick? Very often it's a silly yardstick. Very often it's quite silly. Very often it's quite serious. Usually it's quite reasonable. Well, he knows he'd get a gain if both his feet were equally warm. He's got one cold foot, you see, and one hot foot. And if this equalized, he'd know he'd had a gain in auditing. And look, unless you accomplish that, he'll continue to tell you that he hasn't had any satisfactory change. So he's got this hidden yardstick. So, about the time you start running rudiments the first time on a PC, and consequently and subsequently, I think you had better find out what the yardstick is. What is the yardstick? And then, because the yardstick is going to shift, you'd better find out later on again, what is the yardstick now? And the exact wording that it would take to get that information would be, what would have to happen in order for you to know you had a case change? It'll cause a lot of comm lag sometimes. But you'll read it on the meter. When he suddenly gets the bang on the meter, it starts to fall or something like that, you know he's hit it. Well, what is it? What is it? Well, now, I recall a woman, a girl, who could have the most violent stomach discomfort, have a screaming migraine headache, and if you ask her how she felt, she always said fine. It was just an automatic answer. It was a total automaticity. How are you? Fine. Yes, but how are you really? Oh, fine. Yeah, but how do you really feel? Fine. How's your head? Terrible. It just aches. And you just have to sort this case out every time on this. As far as that case was concerned, if you'd been running goals, you would have gotten a goal like this. To be happier. Right? Now, what is your goal for this session? To be happier. Good. What's your goal? Now, have you got another goal for the session? No, that would be plenty, just to be happier. Just to be happier, that's it. Then you ask a question like this, well, what would have to happen in order for you to have to know you have had a case change?
Oh, that'd be different. That'd be different.
Well, that'd be pretty hard to tell. That'd be pretty hard to tell. But both ears would have to stop aching. My guy, you've never heard of this before in all the time you're auditing them, see? Their ears would have to stop aching. Yeah, that's it. It'll fall on the meter. He never heard anything about ears. He could weep after you've been auditing the case for a long time and then spring this on him. You find out what you've been trying to do. Now, you're used to repairing things like radio sets or automobiles or something like this. Repair a radio set, that's easy. You've got the goal for the radio set. You want it to play. It doesn't work like this with PCs. They've got their own goal. It has nothing to do with playing. So smoking out a person's goals is quite interesting. Very interesting. It's like the assembly of bric-a-brac and curiosa. It's very astonishing sometimes. Now, of course, what would have to happen in order for you to know you have had a case change really isn't a goal. You're asking for the fundamental yardstick of goals. You're asking for the thing they adopted the methodology of chiropractic to heal, what they expected psychoanalysis to take care of, what they expected all sorts of things, Christian Science or anything else that they adopted, to take care of. That's what you're asking for. You're asking for the yardstick which underlies the methodology. And that can be quite astonishing. Now, it's not quite the same as the assessment of goals, because the steepest drop you will find on goals will be some long, deep-seated ambition, a real ambition. Now, obviously, they're not going to achieve all the time this ambition in an auditing session, so it's not a yardstick. Now, some of these ambitions as goals are quite interesting and very, very fruitful as auditing targets. For instance, a fellow who has an ambition of being, had an ambition at the age of 6 or 7 or 8 or something like that, of being able to become instantly invisible. Now, your instant invisibility as an ambition maybe drops off the pin. How would you go about translating this into a process? The steps are very simple. What was supposed to become invisible? In other words, you translate the goal, it's a formula, you translate the goal into a terminal and then assess the terminal on the pre-havingness scale. Run it as long as it shows action on the tone arm. When it slows down, reassess and run it again. When that slows down, reassess and run it again. In view of the fact that you're picking up a very steep drop, long-time ambition, you, of course, are going to recover an enormous number of attention units on this because they've been concentrated on this one for a long time. And, of course, as the attention units free, you get a freer needle, but you also get more havingness and more PT. It's quite elementary. Now, assessing for goals, you would, of course, not be content with 3 or 4 little goals. I'd like to be happier, and I'd like my children to be happier. I'd like my husband to be happier. Yeah, that's my goals. That's it. Yeah. And you start digging, and you start pulling up these not quite socially acceptable goals or something like this. And you go in underneath that got to be happier, and you're going to find all sorts of weird things. If I could just kill with a look
every brunette nail I see on the street. I've wanted to do that for a long time, PC will tell you. Says so on the meter, too. Now you're really getting in somewhere where the PC lives. Now you assess this, you're going to free up attention units. And you could even, by doing this, bypass this yardstick proposition. You could neglect this yardstick. And I would neglect this yardstick right up to this point. At the end of the first session, you've had the tone arm moving and everything, you say, do you think you've made any progress? PC says propitiously, well, I said, maybe. Well, now tell me truthfully, do you think you've really made any progress in this session? No, not really. Even though you've seen progress in the session, remember this one, and at the beginning of the next session, get this one. Because you've got a private yardstick. And if you don't do something about that yardstick, the PC was never going to know. Now, in view of the fact it's probably only about 30% of the cases you audit that are on some oblique, odd private yardstick, you don't have to ride this thing to death. But cases are either advancing and deliriously happy about it, or they're not. And if they're not, with you doing everything you can possibly do to do a good job of auditing, remember, find the private yardstick. What would have to happen in order for you to know you've had a case change? The direct ancestor of this thing is the fellow who just never has an auditor. Never has an auditor. Who would I have to be in order to audit you? It's a fascinating process. It can be asked many times. You eventually get off the village doctor and all the rest of it. But the fellow who just can't get into session and upset with the auditor and just always upset and so forth, well, that old-time wheeze will stand you in very good stead. Just keep asking, well, who would I have to be in order to audit you? And then, what would have to happen in order for you to know you've had a case change? I'm afraid these very resistive cases usually have something both on the auditor and a yardstick. I say this, it's an ancestor to it. It was just an effort to get somebody aware of the auditor. Now let's get this individual aware of his case. Very often these people don't know what this private yardstick was all about. They haven't articulated it even to themselves. As soon as they have, why, they'll throw it in amongst their goals or throw it out or keep measuring case change by it. But you will find, I'm afraid, that it is something they have never told you. It comes under the heading of a secret goal. Just like they're holding another secret of who you'd have to be in order to audit them. Now, these are just little patch-up things, but this thing here, what would have to happen in order for you to know you had a case change, isn't just a little patch-up. If the case does not know that it is shifting, you had better work this one out with the case. There are about 9 people out of the 22 in the 3rd South African who do not yet know they have had a case change. And that question would have to be worked out on these people. Now, this doesn't really naturally come under the heading of the assessment of goals. It doesn't, because it'll be different. Now, I could be very Germanic about it and classify it and say this is one way of asking for goals and so forth, but that would only be theoretical. In actual fact, in practice, on a test of this, it was found to be quite different from the goals the person had. It was a yardstick. It wasn't a goal. So So it's something that you'd better work out with the case. Now, I want to say one more thing about assessment here. You realize that you're always assessing for the steepest fall. When we say assessment, we mean the discovery of a terminal or a condition which is most real or most intimate to the PC and which reacts with a fall on the E-meter to demonstrate that much of the PC's attention is tied up in it. You're looking for where the attention is tied up on the bank. That's what you're always looking for. Where is this individual's attention tied up? Now, it can be tied up in numerous places during a session. It can be tied up in a present time problem. It can be tied up in an ARC break. It can be tied up in some goal. It can be tied up with this yardstick I have just told you about. The fellow's sitting there all the time trying to find out if he likes his body better now. He asks himself this perpetually. He runs the auditing command for a very short time and then asks himself if he likes his body better now. Well, he doesn't like his body better now, therefore he's made no progress. So this thing is somewhat like halfway between a goal and a PTP. And the yardstick probably more intimately classifies as a present time problem than it does as a goal. Now, if you really start working over the goals on a PC, you can get a several dial fall, which causes the tone arm, of course, to shift down as much as 2 divisions. 5 to 3 or something like this. A goal can have that much of a fall. Now, in assessing for goals, then, I would tend to go over it rather laboriously and get a nice, long, complete list of the thing, and I would take any goal that I could find. Any goal that I could find. Not present time goals. Don't keep monkeying around with present time goals. Because the person, after he had this great big goal, very possibly went into apathy. And the present time reiteration of it gets you nothing. But spark him up a little bit and get him to tell you when he had that goal, and you all of a sudden start getting big falls. Person's attention is still tied up there. Still all tied up in the bank. Now, how do you get at these things? Well, you go over them, find out what was the most interesting thing. A goal is actually solving this matter of interest, interested in own case, and willing to talk to the auditor. It's the first entrance of your rudiments. And is a pretty marvelous mechanism. And I repeat the formula, or the recipe, you might say. I repeat it here. You get a lot of goals. Then you assess the goals. You find out which one falls the most. You make sure that you've gotten off any secret goals the PC had forgotten about. Withheld goals, in other words. Do your assessment. Get the one that falls the most, translate it over into a terminal which is agreeable to the PC. You see, this terminal is going to fall as hard as the goal, not less. The translation is done with an E-meter. I'll give you an example of this. Little boy wanted to be a fireman. He wanted to be a fireman. That was what it was all about. And the translation of that is very easy. You say, a fireman. Well, that obviously falls as hard as the goal of fireman. Now, he says, I want to be a great builder. Now, this requires a slight translation. Does he really mean a great builder? And all of a sudden, it turns out that the terminal is a great architect. It's not an architect. It's a great architect. All right. Now, having had that, we've got to fit this on the pre-Havingness scale. Where does this architect live at the moment? Where on the pre-Havingness scale does the architect live? So we fit it over onto the pre-Havingness scale, and we go up, and we ask questions concerning this architect on the basis of no effect and so forth. Now, how do you phrase that? That's why I say we're in a period of complexity, because two things are now left to your ingenuity. One is, how do you phrase this assessment of the architect? You could say, well, what would an architect be? Would he be somebody on which there'd be no effect? And, sort of a beingness assessment up here, something of that sort. But this might not quite fit the bill on all of them, so you have to be alert how you're going to phrase this. And the next thing you have to do is get the process. Now, you have a command sheet, and it's all very nice, but those commands are solely for the conditions of the pre-Havingness scale. You'll have to have a special command wording in order to run the great architect. And it, too, will have to be comprehensible to the PC, and it'll also have to take care of the flows situation. I'll give you an example of this. You can't, what have you withheld, see? We've got a great architect, Overts. That's where it fell, great architect, Overts. I'm giving you Overts here. Withholds is what I'm talking about. Now, you can't say, what have you withheld? Thank you. What have you withheld? Thank you. Because you're not running a great architect. You'd have to say, well, what would a great architect withhold? And what would others withhold from a great architect? Just leave him out of it. There's five possible brackets here, you see. Or you just choose one or two or three of them that seem to answer up to the bill and go ahead. Now, on Overts, well, what would a great architect do? And what would he do to others? Or what would others do to him? Or what would a great architect do to people? Or what would you do to a great architect? And what would a great architect do to you? You'll see how you'd have to dream up this command. And it's the command that apparently fits at this particular level. Pay some attention to the flows, because you can stick up the flows while doing this. So there are two things which are left to your ingenuity. One is how you phrase the assessment to get this great architect over onto the pre-Havingness scale, and then how you phrase up the auditing command that is going to handle this thing. Because obviously, it'd be quite difficult to write a totally patterned thing here. Give you an idea, the person's reality on space opera is very poor. He has no direct, real memory of having been a rocket jockey. Well, obviously, you're going to have to run it conceptually. And you'd have to be able to put every one of these points of the pre-Havingness scale onto a conceptual command. Like, think of doing something to a rocket jockey. Think of a rocket jockey doing something to you. You see that? He wouldn't really be able to tell. You couldn't say, recall doing something to a rocket jockey, because factually he couldn't possibly do it, because he doesn't have any real awareness, even though it's a big goal, see? He wants to be a space pilot. You got a dozen of them over in the United States. I think they're all dead by this time in Russia. They've shot them all off into space. So you've got a bunch of astronauts, as they are calling themselves, sitting around waiting to be shot off in the wake of the apes. Well, these boys all have got a big goal this way, and there's two or three of them that'll be trembling around about this goal, but they won't know why. Well, you can cut into it on a conceptual basis, you see, and get just as far. So that is left to judgment, and there are two points there which are, at the moment, in a state of complexity, which require that the auditor invest some time, trouble, and so forth in order to pull this off. But first and foremost, you'd better find the yardstick on which this case is adjudicating progress, if this case isn't adjudicating very much progress as far as you're concerned. Okay? Thank you.